Christopher Collins is publisher and editor of Logos Press, former co-director of the New Yinzer Presents performance series, managing editor of New Yinzer from 2005 to 2009, and now he is the book reviewer of Pittsburgh Magazine. He's just doing more stuff around town than just about anybody I know. He's the manager of Caliban Bookshop. He's the owner of Desolation Row Records and CDs. His book, King Everything, was published in 2007. That is 2007. By Six Gallery Press, and Book of Names was published by Logos Press in 2008, and another book, Liturgy of Streets, in 2009. And somebody should help the typist here. The latest collection, Last Call, was published by Speed and Briscoe in 2010, and this is a really good guy. Please welcome Chris Collins.
What kind of introduction was that? He's a really good guy. Now I have to be a good guy up here, John. Okay. Hi. Thanks to everybody for coming out. Wow, this is a big group tonight. I didn't even see this other side of the room over here. Wow. Now I'm really intimidated. So I don't have anything for Neruda's birthday, so I'm going to read a poem for Kenneth Patchen instead, because I got one of those. This is called After Patchen. And can everybody hear okay? The mic's all right? No, more? More? This is as loud as I get. Sorry. Okay, I'll get closer. That'll work. Because I can't project very well. This is called After Patchen. Oh, love. This is when I worry most. The night comes down heavy as the mask, a curtain of regret and star song. Oh, love, this world shines and the clock ticks, burns as the second hand climbs and falls. Diving into the future, I fear, my heart of stopped time, a murmur wanting mostly of memory. I know this body to be a sieve, and you, only a phantom shivering through. Oh, love. I never really know what to say about the things I write, so I try not to say anything about them. That usually works out for the best, I think. But this one is called Honey Wilder. And here goes. I cannot think of you without thinking of the Carnegie Library in Oakland and the many nights hung over in the stacks, the secret card games and Frank Zappa records. Will history even care we slept away our shifts in the break room? The seasons shooting across the sky in front of us, drinking vending machine coffee on the steps in the snow. I read everything back then, just because I could. I admit I do not travel well, but why should I apologize? It's not like things are better somewhere else. Distance does not equal happiness. This is something I should have learned at a younger age. You are not a shape I can make with my mouth. The temptation is to always use the past tense simply because it's easier. I had my hand in there for days, and when I pulled it out, wham! Everything changed, and then everything was everything again. You promised me honey wilder than any tongue had known. And yes, we shall slip loose these bodies, and only then will we understand. Okay, you guys ready for a sex poem? Okay, don't get that excited. It's not that kind of sex poem. It's not the kind of sex I have, I guess. Jerome, maybe, not me. I don't know. This is called "This Bed Is Not a Bed." This bed is not a bed, but rather a sidewalk, a loose hubcap, a wild joyride round curves, clipping the crossing guard and just scraping the paint off the old lamppost. This machine is stolen from deities, gimmicked and greased as we gas the beast. We shake this town. We are banging, baby, giving fingers of flame to every square we squeal past. I am 15, 14, 12, younger. You are not even the speck carried in your mother's wild eye. We are fated to be feted by friends in blacked-out bars. We are outlaws on the run. Our kisses are guns, our sex the note that holds up the bank. Get your hands in the air, honey. Hands in the air, folks. Get them up. Get them up. Get them up. It's a poetry reading. Get your hands up. There you go. Get your hands in the air, honey. We are swimming in sky. We are the dirty joke that drops jaws. The frisky itch that drops drawers. Oh, we could almost be poetry. If we only got further down and dirty. Thanks for joining in. I don't usually do audience participation. Thank you. This next one is called "The Prayer of St. Pierre's Ravine." And I had the great pleasure of co-writing this with Margaret Bashar, a great poet, a really good friend, and one of the typewriter girls, and publisher of Hyacinth Girl Press. So this is "Prayer of St. Pierre's Ravine" with Margaret Bashar. Personally, I prefer an office building to a birthday cake. So when the big blow comes, it really means something. Human lives are at stake. The continuity of a name. The view is the same from the bottom of the fire escape as it is from the top. It's only the symbolism that changes. My hands are raw from all this climbing and all the phone calls late at night. I do wish this city was as easy to use as this suspect device I hold out to you. We would all have names then, if this was the world. Last night, I tried to name each star for a different mistake I made, but I never knew they moved so quickly. Hadn't realized when you crane your neck, it all pools there. The cruel song I sang to a girl on the school bus, the girl I kissed at my boyfriend's birthday party, who is not my boyfriend. The phone calls I don't return and don't return and don't return until they stop. This city is a map of my mistakes, and I can't fit it into the sky. I think sometimes of the name I would give myself. There are nights that happen in the middle of the day, and there are necessary mistakes. I have embarked upon a program of forgiveness found in the fox pages of a forgotten diary. Your scent, a rich perfume in every brittle page, tells me, drink dry the Monongahela and walk out into the bed. Here, here. Sleep is something dangerous. As stars plucked from the eye of night are vulnerable to love poems, so we are naked to the harsh light of recognition, of knowing we have doomed ourselves. And it is wonderful. We are like rabbits, seeing everything behind and in front of us at once, living our lives half on the moon, half in this burrow we've dug so long and so deep, we can't be ferreted out, even if we want it. We build the things we need from what's around us. We dig and we dig and we dig until we find what we are looking for, what we did not know we needed, until we took off our feet and drop them in the river. Well, here is where they buried the bridge, between the library and all this sunny flesh. We walk it without knowing, at one with earth and air. It had a name like all the rest, syllables to call it to table, to chastise, and to love. Your name, the the arc of a star I hold in my mouth. This world hums with it. The water embraces. Drop to your knees, love, and dig. Our hands were made for tenderness, but also for this, unearthing. As the ground gives way, we are exposed. Bone, blood, we are one. Going to read from a chapbook, The Last Call, published by Speed and Briscoe last year, which was very nice of them. Oh no, I'm going to do this one. This is called The Pittsburgh Baedeker. And if you don't know, Baedekers were European travel guides put together by Carl Baedeker, really, really very handsome, small, pocket-sized, but very thick, just dense with information and giant fold-out maps and just a real, just a world inside of a guide. And I always felt that Pittsburgh should have one of these Baedekers. And it was always kind of a back burner idea when I was at the New Yinzer that we would publish one of these one day. Maybe they still will, I don't know. The Pittsburgh Baedeker. Isn't it wonderful I can open a Baedeker and know the brilliant wool-clad asses of Byron, Voltaire, and Dumas got down to business on the banks of Lake Geneva, rutting in the aromatic mud with the invisible, little lapping sounds like those of a kitten at its milk, the overt suggestions, the red tip of the world's tongue tickling at the heart by way of a well-scrubbed ear. And here I am, tacking the Allegheny to a white pegboard, expressing myself in the precise tones of a busted muffler. Did you know the Eggeshorn is the uppermost peak of a ridge separating the Great Aletsch Glacier from the Rhone Valley? From here, the Alps are breathtaking, ducking their pearly heads behind K&L gates, stroking the Roberto Clemente, fingers facile as Anton Karas's, upon this golden zither. I brush the hair from your eyes at PPG Place and check my teeth for Cervelat. How am I doing with time, Joan? Good? Okay. This is called The Whiskey Rebellion, which is a response poem to a piece by Jason Baldinger, who's here tonight. There he is over there. He might read at the open mic, I hope. So this is for Jason. There is a line stretching from the men's room urinal all the way to the jukebox. It does something to the music, this anxious shuffling of human requirement, the shh of shoes sweeping soft leather across the pleated floor, the multi-headed conversations colliding, phantom jets spilling a white wake of suds in your lady's lap. You must administer the right ammunition to quell the uprising, else you are engulfed. Arson or amber. These are the long nights we will fail to remember, the nagging nights that push at the corners of closed eyes, the ghosts that give themselves up and go. I am tattooing the tatters of your memory into this soggy napkin we call poem. Damp from the years fallen in a flood from such kissable fingertips. Okay, here's another whiskey poem, since there seem to be a bunch of them lately. This is called Whiskey from When You Were Born. Oh no, I've lost track of the last pour, and for all I know, it's the last time come around once again. Will you please let me know if I'm embarrassing myself? If I'm blazing brilliantly as I believe, then please, please do not interrupt. There are people here who need to know these things. All the things whispering round this clutched and smoke-blown air. Oh, life. Oh, my. Honey hands all in my hair. What will you pay for these kisses, my love? All the gooey green dug from deep in the wet caves of these cushions. All the tender red rages sizzling in your solar plexus. All the brown, beery burps lurching like a new dance move from down in our bellies. Ah, la, ta-da. We are magic. How we make whole liquid worlds disappear. Are you my bunny baby? Be my bunny baby. Let's do the lover's leap. How late it's become. Now comes the creeping daylight, and all the mortal shocks and all that jazz. The bloodshot dawn is such a cruel friend. Yes, it reassures that, yes, we are alive, and yes, didn't we stir up some very fine nonsense in the night? Yes, yes, yes. You are so very lovely in this newborn light. Love, we are spent. Oh, love, we are the only currency to hold its value in this new world. Okay, just a couple more? Is good? Okay. All right, another bar poem, since we're in a bar. This one takes place in Baltimore. And it doesn't actually have a name yet, so I have to get around to that. We were talking about forgiveness, or we weren't talking at all. And in the darkness of the place, I was only thinking it. What could be more difficult, more required? But this was merely a scattering of salt, errant crumbs of unspoken regret, all that shit between the man and me. And you had just taken a long pull on the pint, and our friend was with us from the other town. And the two of you were talking, not about forgiveness or loss or family, but just talking and being human. What could be more difficult, more required? While I studied the shapes scratched into the tabletop, some approximating words, others their intent. You must have said something then, or you took my hand and clutched it to your belly and pulled me from the water I could hardly tread into this thing you were building all on your own with a secret reserve of wood and grease. Our friend was back with a fresh round, and strangers moved and made noise and touched, and when did all of these people arrive? I should probably pay closer attention to this world. At the very least, I should look it straight in the eye and be honest. The subterfuge is hard to shed. Perhaps removing my jacket is enough. After all, it is getting hot in here. Okay, this is the last piece I'm going to do tonight. It's a cover. I didn't write it, so I'm going to enjoy it. This is from Glass City, written by John Grahalski and published by my press, Logos Press. John is a Pittsburgh poet living in exile in Brooklyn. So we all feel for him. I know, I do. And this is called Typical New York Poem. I do have copies of this here tonight, $5 a piece if you'd like one. Typical New York Poem. I have been in New York too long now. All I can write is the New York poem. The warm and artificial, suffocating, sun-blocking, claustrophobic, stuck in a long line, getting on the wrong train, unexplainable to the rest of America kind of poem. The white people poem, the black people poem, the Hispanic people poem, the Chinese poem, the Brooklyn poem, the Bronx poem, the Queens poem, the diversity poem, and all that other sensitive bullshit that no one buys on the street anyway kind of poem. If I were writing this Sacramento poem, I'd mention the swamplands colored crimson in the sunlight, the great split on I-80 that sends some east and some into the insanity of capital city traffic. Old Sacramento, shining golden in dawn's bloom, serenaded in downtown traffic horns, my neck still sore from craning it to catch the last remnants of Oakland and San Francisco, the Lost Bay poem. If this were a psalm to Salt Lake City, I'd sing about the stench of the great Salt Lake misting in the horizon, so dense and saline that nothing can survive in it. I'd sing about barreling 90 miles an hour through the Salt Lake Desert, the Hyundai rattling, its boosters bucking in the heat, the way it started doing back in California, back in the Mojave Desert, how Allie's arm hurt from the bird that dipped into it, missing the windshield. I'd wonder about the Marxist we left sitting in a cheap bar and the bartender in his New Era hat with Manhattan splattered across the front, who wanted me to sing a New York poem. And if this were a Denver poem, well, I'd have to mention standing on Larmer Street crying over Neil Cassidy, wouldn't I? Or the pink neon lights of El Chapultepec on Market, where we ate Mexican food on paper plates slathered in green chili sauce, which ran all over the table and stuck to our hands as the jukebox kept playing Booker T songs, as we kept drinking $1 drafts of Coors, and we were bloodshot as the old Mexican drunks laughed and laughed and laughed at the great nothingness of stupid joy. If this were a Kansas City poem, shit. The stuff I could say about desolation on a Sunday night. If this were a St. Louis poem, I'd moan over Mark Twain driftwood floating in the Mississippi River. If this were a Chicago poem, we'd wander North Clark again in search of the real blues, getting drunk, howling, knowing we'd never find it. And if this were a Pittsburgh poem, well, then I'd be home again. If only for a little while. But all I can write is the New York poem, the paranoid hold your bag tight poem, the fall of the Roman Empire on 42nd Street poem, the late show poem, the media conglomerate poem, the sad, lonely musing poem that is surrounded by everyone but still huddles under a warm steam grate poem, the shouting silent on a loud subway poem, the typical American dream poem, the same poem that I've been writing since I got back to New York and began writing this New York poem. Thank you.